Oh, my word. Great, great moment from, the movie? Four Christmases, yes. I don't know that that's exactly the way the first Christmas went, though the first Christmas certainly didn't go the way that anybody expected it. But that's like the merging of the beginning of Christ's life and the thing he said on the cross right before he died, in case you didn't pick up on that. So anyway, it's great to have you here this morning, and a little preview of what we're going to be looking at today. It comes from Luke chapter 2, and it says this. It says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Peace. You know, we long for peace this time of year. Why is it, you know, more than other times of year, we get to the Christmas season, and we long for peace. We long for world peace. We long for peace in our relationships, in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. We long for peace. And today, we're going to take a look at why we long for this. So we're really excited you're here this morning. My name's Kurt, by the way. If we haven't had a chance to meet, we're just super excited you're here. We love Christmas around here. We think this is one of the greatest times of year. Just all the anticipation, the wonder, the hope, the joy. And we're kind of asking the question, why is it that this time of year, regardless of your spiritual orientation, regardless of, you know, how you were brought up, and if you had a religious upbringing or didn't have a religious upbringing, for some reason, this time of year, we all long to be infused with the Christmas spirit. And so before we take a look at this in terms of peace today, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to be here today. We thank you for the season. We just look around and we see and feel and hear and even smell at times the this season is different than any other season. There's something about the Christmas season, regardless of our beliefs, regardless of what we think about Christmas, we notice that this is a different time of year. And God, today, I would venture to say that many of us, over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, even in the midst of the early part of this Christmas season, we have experienced some unexpected things. We've had things happen that maybe didn't go the way that we planned. We had things that we weren't prepared for or anticipating. And God, this is the very story we find in the midst of the Christmas story. So God, wherever this finds us this morning, if there's any of us here this morning that are just trying to work through, okay, what is it, God, that you're doing in the midst of this thing that I'm going through or that I'm dealing with or these relationships that are a bit off? God, would you just help us to see how this connects to the Christmas story today? And God, I just pray that you would help this time to be beneficial and helpful. I pray these things according to your name. Amen. Well, I love Christmas. I've been sharing with y'all, through this whole series. I mean, this is one of my favorite times of year. I love the sights, the sound, the songs, the trees. I love the lights. I mean, the snow. I mean, because everybody knows baby Jesus had snow falling in the Middle East, you know, when he was born, right? I mean, everything about this season I love, and of course, the story. And I realize that we don't all feel that way. I know some people really don't enjoy Christmas, but most of us, you get to Christmas and you're happier. I mean, we looked at that a couple weeks ago, how the joy index goes up this time of year. For some of us, we're beginning to wind down, maybe in our businesses. Maybe you're even beginning to get a little bit of peacefulness, a little bit of serenity, a little bit of slowness coming your way. And you're just starting to enjoy the holidays. Every year, I have these aspirations of, man, I'm going to soak it all in. Every evening, we're going to have a little Ray Charles Christmas, and sit by the Christmas tree and enjoy a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, something to just soak in the season. And yet, we get to this time of year, and honestly, our year here at Crosspoint just begins to ramp up. And in fact, for our whole staff team, our year winds up these last few weeks of the year, and I think between now and Christmas, including today, we're gonna have something like 11 services over the next 14 days and multiple rehearsals, and we get to Christmas Eve and we're doing it five times, over the course of like 3.5-4 days, and it's like Groundhog's Day over and over. I mean, I couldn't do Groundhog's Day for a day, let alone multiple days, and yet we love it. We love doing this over and over as we wrap up this year, and yet I can't really get any sense of sereneness or slowness, at least in my life, until we get to the 25th or at least the 26th of this month. And then after we have our final Christmas Eve service here, one of the things our family will do is we'll go out to dinner, and then we'll go home and do some of our family traditions that we do on Christmas Eve every year, put our kids down, and then, and I actually get a bit emotional on Christmas Eve. And one of the reasons is I love this season, but part of it is it reminds me of earlier in our family's life. In fact, when we first started Crosspoint, money was really tight, and we weren't doing Christmas Eve services here at Crosspoint at the time. And so I would often work work on Christmas Eve. I'd actually work. I'd work for a friend of mine, and I'd go out and I'd cater, help cater a party, and I'd be out, you know, till, I don't know, till 11:30, 12 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and, you know, making a little extra cash so I can make ends meet. And it wasn't like my business. I mean, I was just kind of like hired help, but I was doing that to make ends meet so that we could, you know, have a Christmas, and it was beneficial money. And yet that was not exactly the way that I expected my life to be at that particular time. And so, you know, this is my stuff, you know, revolving around this season. You probably have your stuff and your difficulties you're dealing with, and we're not even starting to talk about, like, family annoyances and all that kind of stuff, right? And yet, we sing these songs like we sung this morning. You know, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play of wild and sweet, the words repeat of what? Peace on earth, right? And goodwill to men. I mean, peace. We long for peace this time of year. So I just thought, you know, let's try to understand what peace really means. So I thought I'd go where the millennials go to define things, because I'm like a millennial at heart. I'm not a millennial by age, but by heart. So I went to the, not Webster's, I went to the Urban Dictionary. That's right, the Urban Dictionary. And so here's what the Urban Dictionary, if you Google peace and Urban Dictionary, here's what comes up. It says, peace is a brief interlude between wars during which the prudent study of the lessons of the last war and prepare for the next one. And I read that, and I'm like, come on, if that's what peace is, we're screwed. I mean, there's no hope for any of us. I mean, if it's just this peaceful moment between, the interlude moment between two warring times or between two chaotic moments, I mean, the time when we actually study up in the midst of the calmness to prepare so I can do it better the next time around, I mean, that sounds more stressful than peaceful to me. I mean, if that's a version of peace, I mean, that's like the gluten-free, non-GMO, you know, like tofu version of peace, right? Like, it has all the tastes that you want, but it just doesn't come through for you. And so, I mean, because that might look good on the outside, but it doesn't really satisfy. And so, but that's how our culture defines peace. It's just the interlude between two chaotic times, between two warring moments where you study up a bit and you learn about how to do it better the next time. And I'm thinking, man, if that's it, geez, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm up for that. And so maybe the Urban Dictionary is not the place we should go, at least to define peace. Maybe it's good for other things. But today, I want us to consider what the Bible, what the Christmas story, the original Christmas story, actually gives us in terms of this peace that's to come to all people in all places. And so it's a little bit different peace than you and I might understand. It comes from the original word that we find in the Old Testament portion of the Bible is the word shalom, which means peace. And it's so much more than just a cease in the warring moments, an interlude between chaotic moments. And so here's how one theologian puts it. He says, in the Bible, shalom means the universal flourishing, the wholeness, delight, a rich state of affairs in which natural needs are satisfied and natural gifts fruitfully employed. A state of affairs that inspires joyful wonders, its creator and savior opens doors and opens creatures in whom he delights. Shalom, in other words, is the way things ought to be. It says shalom, peace, is the way things ought to be. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of peace I want. A sense of universal flourishing, of a fullness, of the way things ought to be in a world where it seems increasingly like things are not the way they're supposed to be. And if we're honest, we all want this, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what your spiritual slant is, your spiritual orientation. I mean, this is one of the reasons every Christmas we're drawn toward this idea of peace on earth. We want things to be the way they're supposed to be. Because for some of us right now, we're in here and this is the first Christmas season. We're going through, you know, the season divorced. And so we're struggling a bit, and maybe there's not a lot of peace in our life right now. Or maybe, you know, for others of us, you had this predetermined goal that this was going to be the year where you were going to be married by the time you got to Christmas, and some unexpected things happened, and all of a sudden, you know, that date's not on the calendar, and short of like a Hallmark movie Christmas miracle, all right, you're not going to end up married. Or maybe this was the Christmas where you thought, man, we're going to be celebrating and experiencing a baby. And again, something unexpected took place, and that baby's not there, and you're struggling, and you have been struggling, and you're longing for the peace in the midst of the Christmas season, or maybe you lost a job, or you're waiting for the axe to fall to get right-sized, or maybe you experienced the loss of a family member, I mean, somebody really close that this is the first time you're going through this season without them. I mean, I go on and on and on, and so there's any number of unexpected, unanticipated things that we may be dealing with, and we go, okay, where's the peace in this? And the amazing thing, I mean, the moment where our lives intersect with the Christmas story is on that silent night, on that holy night. I mean, it was filled. And not only was it filled on that particular night, but I mean, they had been preempted with all a number of events leading up to that night. All sorts of unexpected, unanticipated, undesired events that did not go the way, at least, that they thought it was supposed to be. See, here's the thing. Here's what's fascinating. If we think the spiritual life is about, you know, just getting everything clean and everything ordered and everything's going to go exactly the way I want it to go, listen, you're never probably going to find God. I mean, you're never really going to connect with the God, the creator of the universe. I mean, if you think life is always going to go that way, you're going to like be bummed out. All right, because you know, for many of us, we think the closer I get to God, the more I align my life with God and with His ways, more of His power coursing through my life, that life's just going to get easy, and it's going to coast, it's going to be predictable. But that's not necessarily the way God works. All right, that's not shalom. That's not peace. Just a peaceful, easy feeling, and everything's exactly you know the way I want it to be is not exactly a peace. It's the way God would desire it to be. So three things I want us to see in the midst of this story this morning. The first thing is that peace is not the absence of the unexpected, but it's the shalom or the presence of God. Peace is the actual presence of God. I mean, think about this. Think about Mary and Joseph, the two major players in this story for a moment. I mean, Joseph, right, he's excited about getting married. All of a sudden he finds out he's going to be a dad. He doesn't want his first fathering experience to be that of being a stepdad. And his wife, I mean, she'd been a very honorable person. He doesn't want to have to defend his wife's honor. I mean, little Miss Mary who has it all together. And all of a sudden, you know, Mary's a great person, but all of a sudden, you know, she's pregnant. And Joseph, you say it's not yours. And how could that happen? And Joseph, what do you mean? You're like staying with her? Like, how does that happen? I mean, Joseph has this whole unexpected, unplanned mess kind of thrown his way. And yet Joseph, he's an incredible guy. He grows closer to God in the midst of these moments, not further, even though he has all these unexpected, unpredictable things come his way. And then, of course, Mary, on the other hand, she's probably 12, maybe 13, 14, maybe tops years old. And you know, she's just excited to have a husband. I mean, she's going through the typical process in a Jewish family of how you, this kind of ritual approaching marriage. And then all of a sudden, and I think Mary, she's probably like one of the greatest women that ever lived. And you know, I mean, she's a woman and she's human. She's not sinless, all right? She's not God. I mean, if she was sinless, then God would not have needed to intervene bringing someone who was going to be sinless into the world. So she's not God. She's not sinless. And yet I have to think she was like one of the best women that ever walked the earth. I mean, I don't have a way to prove this, but if I were God and I were going to put my seed in a woman to create, you know, the divine son of God, I mean, I think I'd be looking for a woman who is honorable. I'd be looking for somebody who honored me with their life, who communicated with me. I'd be looking for somebody who had a stellar character, somebody who had a beautiful, beautiful life. And yet here comes Mary, this hot mess, who has this unwanted and unexpected pregnancy. And yet, I mean, when the angel comes and says, hey, here's what's going to be taking place, take a look at how she responds. I mean, the angel comes to her in Luke chapter 1, and she says, I am the Lord's servant. She doesn't be like, oh my gosh, God, how could you do this? I can't believe this is happening. It's not the way it's supposed to go. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me fulfilled. And then the angel left her. I mean, this is one of the reasons Mary's such a great woman. I mean, she wasn't planning on this. Pretty confident this is not the way she would have scripted her life. I mean, she knows she's going to have all kinds of questions to answer as a result of what's about to take place. And today, I mean, if you get married today, there's not really this cultural stigma about being a virgin when you get married anymore, even though it's still a noble thing and a good thing, and it is the way God designed it. I mean, it'll save you all kinds of intimacy issues if you can protect your sexuality at that point. But today, that's not really a highly valued thing in our culture anymore. But back then, in the first century, I mean, this was like a cultural expectation. And yet, here comes Mary, and she's pregnant, and Joseph says, hey, it's not mine, and yet they're preparing to be married, and so Mary, all of a sudden, is not seen as all that great a person. And yet, what's her response? She says, well, hey, I'm the Lord's servant. And so in the midst of this unexpected moment, she actually experiences the shalom, the peace of God, because peace is not the absence of the unexpected. It's the actual presence of God. See, when you come to a new place spiritually, is when you come to the place of saying, okay, God, I'm God, whatever you've got for me, I'm gonna follow whatever you've got, whatever you want. It's not about me following you so I can get what I want, but God, I'm following you because I want what you want. I want things the way they're supposed to be in your eyes, not necessarily in mine. Second big idea. Not only is peace the absence of the unexpected, but peace is attained not through our own self, but through someone else, through some outside source. See, it's actually God's presence in Mary's life in this moment. It's something totally outside of herself that creates this peace. And her posture is just one of openness. She can either resist it, she can complain about it, she can kind of say, well, God, how in the world could you do this? Or she can be like, okay, God, I don't fully get it. I don't fully understand why this is going on, but God, I'm gonna trust that you've got this. Well, let me just ask you, as you continue through this Christmas season, are you open? Ask yourself, am I open to whatever it is God might want to do in the midst of maybe that unexpected situation going on in my life right now? Am I open to that? Or do you have a certain set of, you know, preconceived notions of, you know, God's got to first hit this for me to believe he's the one true God? Or, you know, this is why so many of us are in like perpetual seeking mode. All right, we're in seeking mode instead of receiving mode because we think some deity or some spiritual entity has to hit all these preset criteria. And guess what? It doesn't always happen that way. And when life happens, when chaos sets in or the unexpected comes, all of a sudden, that's just like fodder for us to be like, well, see, God, this is why I just don't believe you're here. I don't believe you care. I don't think you exist. And see, until we come to realize that God's not about keeping our lives problem free. I mean, God's not about just the smooth road. He's about the road that grows us and helps things begin to become the way they're supposed to be from his eyes in our life. It's only when we begin to see that that we begin to see that God's something way bigger going on. We see this in this next part of the Christmas story. This is part of the passage we've been looking at throughout this series, Luke chapter 2. It says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you what? Good news, right? Not bad news. He says, I bring you, hey, whoa, there's something really, really good coming your way. I bring you good news that will cause great joy. For who? Everybody. All the people. For today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah of the Lord. This will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, a couple things that are really interesting right here. First of all, we've kind of been hitting this the last two weekends, but the angels come first to a group of people who are a bunch of imperfect people. This is just so fascinating to me always. Every time I read, I mean, shepherds living out in the fields, their lives, the fact that they're shepherds means their lives probably were not going the way they wanted them to go. All right, because being a shepherd is not plan A. All right, being a shepherd might be plan B, maybe even plan C. I mean, that was like them working a seasonal job on Christmas Eve as a hired help. That's what that means, because they're just trying to make ends meet. And so if you were a shepherd, this was an occupation that you did not because you wanted to, but because you had to. And in this case, there wasn't a lot of respect for shepherds in that culture. So the shepherds, you know, God shows up in this less than impressive occupation and communicates with this group of people that no one thought had any connection with the Heavenly Father. Have you ever wondered, why didn't God show up to like a business owner? Why didn't God show up to like an accountant? I mean, somebody whose life was all in order. You ever wonder that? I don't know, Margo. It just makes you wonder, right? And so, you know, this first Christmas, nothing about the first Christmas is the way that you expected things to go. God shows up to an occupation of the most unexpected of people. And the angel says, this will be a sign. This is what you'll see. There'll be a baby wrapped and lying in a manger. Now, this whole idea of a manger, we romanticize the Christmas story, right? I mean, we think it's all pristine. My kids, my younger daughter's like, ooh, we'd like a manger for our babies. I'm like, you don't want a manger? I don't want a manger in our house. You know what a manger is? A manger is a cow's bowl. That's what a manger is. It's where cows drool. Heifers eat out of this. And not only that, they poop and pee and defecate right next to the manger. I mean, so a manger, I mean, it's like a dirty place. I mean, the equivalent of laying, you know, the baby Jesus in a manger, like putting him in a urinal. I mean, it's about the equivalent, right? And so you don't put babies in urinals or in mangers. I mean, you'd get arrested today if you put your baby in a urinal, right? Or at least in a manger. I mean, the cows eat and poop and pee. I mean, it's all one right there. And yet, this is what happens. And let's just recap the story for a moment. We have a woman, Mary, who's not expecting a baby. We have her husband, Joseph, or soon-to-be husband, who doesn't want his first experience to be as a father to be that of a stepfather. We've got shepherds who are the last people that anybody expects God's going to be communing with or bringing this message of great joy for the entire world. And then we have this baby who's wrapped in cloths, put in this dirty urinal feeding trough, right? I mean, that is not the way it's supposed to go, right? Or maybe that's exactly the way God wanted it to go. Maybe God's saying something to us through this story about the places he shows up, and the kind of people he gets involved with. Verse 13 says, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace. Here's our word, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Why are they singing glory to God in the highest heaven? It's because he's sending a Savior. Why is he sending a Savior? It's because the whole world has been trying to figure out, how do I get this peace? How do I? They've been trying to think of, man, if I can just secure this, then I'll have a fulfillment. If I can just have that, then my life will be flourishing. I mean, it's a whole world of people trying to figure out life on their own and yet realizing that they can't do that. They can't bring a peace on their own. I mean, it's like a whole world of Kurt Walters out there, just trying to figure it out, right? I mean, and they have a propensity to be drawn toward dark things. They have a propensity to be drawn toward, things that are, more Scroogey than cheerful and a joyous season. I mean, they create a whole bunch of brokenness in their wake at times. I mean, see, this story is saying something to us. If your life is one where it's not quite put all together and you're thinking, man, I don't even know that God would turn his head toward me. I can't imagine Christmas is for me. I mean, this is where he shows up. I mean, I'm trying to encourage you with this morning. I'm not trying to bum us out. Third thing, peace is not on the other side of chaos. Peace is in the midst of chaos. See, Jesus is at home in the midst of the chaos. He's at home in the midst of the disappointments. He's at home in the midst of the difficulty. He's at home in the midst of the dirt. He's at home in the midst of the manger. He's at home in the midst of the sin. This is where he jumps into the world. My wife and I, we have this conversation every now and then. And I just had it last weekend. We had some family in last weekend for one of my daughter's Christmas concerts. And my father-in-law stayed the night with us. And so it was like Thursday evening. And she goes, oh my gosh, we got to get the house clean. I'm like, well, why are we cleaning the house? And other than we had some people coming over. She's like, well, my dad's coming. He's staying the night. And I'm like, oh, that's right. I forgot about that. She's like, we got to get the guest room ready. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, why are we cleaning for your father? he's a widower. He lives by himself now. Julie goes to his house to clean his house, all right? He's totally fine in the midst of the mess. And yet we got to get it all cleaned up so we can come to our house. And yet this is how so many times we live our life, right? Like, oh my gosh, I got to get myself all together. I mean, if Jesus is really going to have anything to do with me, I've got to clean it all up. I've got to figure out how to be morally, superior to everybody else. I've got to do all these little things versus just letting Jesus meet me where I am and starting there. See, Jesus doesn't understand the all put together situations. I mean, Jesus jumps into the Bethlehems. He jumps into the nowheres and the nobodies. I mean, Jesus, he jumps into feeding troughs. I mean, he's at home in the midst of the unexpected, in the midst of the dirty, in the midst of the less desirable. I got an email this week that kind of bummed me out initially, partly because I wasn't prepared for it. I got an email from one of my former coaches. I have coaches that kind of coach me, have coached me through the years. And this is a coach I had early on at Cross Point for about 2 years. He coached me, and his name's Nelson Searcy. And the email said, pray for me this upcoming Tuesday for my upcoming surgery. And I don't know, I didn't know he was having surgery, so I dove into the email a bit and found out that Nelson has had cancer for the last year and a half. And it started as colon cancer, and they've removed a number of tumors. And so I'm just reading through, and he said, yeah, many of you aren't in the loop on this because I just have been communicating with the people that are in my coaching cluster right now, and I've not been in that. So this was like a rude awakening to read this. And yet, he in the midst of this, he said, but it's been one of the best, most peaceful seasons I've experienced. I'm like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what that's like. And he started talking about, even though it's been difficult, he's found a peace in the midst of the situation, not just on the other side. And so he was just asking for prayer. In fact, you can pray for him if you want. His name's Nelson. In 2 days, he's having surgery, remove 5 more tumors off his liver. And yet he said, hey, if this surgery goes well and goes the way my doctors expect it to go and the way we're praying for it to go, he said, I might be cancer-free by Christmas. And for me, he said, that would be a Christmas miracle. He said, this would be one of the best Christmases ever. And I just got this like, ooh, man, I got goosebumps reading that. And part of it is because it took me back to my wife's cancer journey a year and a half ago. And when you deal with cancer, I mean, it's a different journey. You identify with people that are on the cancer journey. And so when my wife got cancer a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, and we began that journey and just saw God's hand in the midst of that in incredible ways. I mean, even before we found out she had cancer, we could look back and see God's hand. And I would say we felt some of the most peaceful experiences in the hand of God in our life in such powerful ways in that season like we haven't had in other seasons. In fact, I was talking with one of my friends this week, and I said, you know, man, I would never want cancer again. I wouldn't want my wife to have cancer. I don't want that. I would never wish that in anybody's life. And yet, I tell you what, I long to have some of those moments where there's just a peace that comes in the midst of that difficulty. I long for moments like that. So if you're in the midst of a season or something that just emerged, it blew you out of the water, you're dealing with a difficult relationship or, you know, whatever it might be, just know, I mean, this just might be the makings of one of the best Christmases ever. Now, I don't know where all this lands. I know we all come in here in different places, and I know there's probably many of us that are dealing with something in the unexpected realm this Christmas. So I want to kind of walk us through some next steps this morning. On the back of your connection card are some next steps. I just want to walk us through these because it's really important, you know, that we don't just come and be like, oh, man, that was good. Maybe it was encouraging. But I want us to think, okay, what are we doing as a result as we leave this morning? And so maybe for you, maybe you got a friend or a neighbor. I mean, the first one here is I'm going to invite a friend, neighbor, or coworker to Christmas Eve. Maybe that's somebody who's been put on your heart. And you're like, man, I have a burden for somebody who's going through a lot right now. Man, take that ice scraper. It's amazing when you have those in your pocket and you run into somebody. Every now and then I don't have one. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I wish I had that thing so I could just be like, hey, Christmas Eve, love to have you come. Here's an ice scraper, but it's really an invite to remind you that, hey, we'd love to see you at Cross Point. You know, maybe for you, it's taking and filling a Spread Some Cheer meal box. You know, the crazy thing about these meal boxes, talk about peace and unexpected things. Every year, we kind of negotiate the giving tree and the meal boxes way before the Christmas season. I mean, we're back in like October, you know, even September sometimes, planning these things. Now, the giving tree tags always go quickly. Hopefully, all those are coming back today. The meal boxes, there's always some left. We're always a last-minute culture. So there were like 64 out there when I came in today. That's 64 families that are not currently on plan A, meaning plan A didn't come through for them. Like everything's going the way they hoped. They're on plan B, and you are the solution to their plan B, just in case you wondered, right? And usually there's not a plan C. And so for many of these families, like they will not have food through the Christmas season if we don't come through. Now, we don't know when we commit to these families. Nobody signed up. Nobody said, hey, I'll take a box. We commit based on, you know, this is what the schools that we work through say the needs are. And we're like, hey, if that's the need, we're going to step up to the plate. And we don't know if a snowstorm's going to hit next weekend. We don't know if the economy's going to be good or bad every year when we start planning this. But we just feel like, hey, when God says this is the need, we want to respond. So, man, if you haven't taken a box, I encourage you to take a box. Talk about bringing peace to someone whose life is not going the way it's supposed to be. You may be a part of the solution today. Can we be a part of the solution today? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, good. All right, so maybe take a box on your way out. Now, that's a microcosm of every decision we make around here. It's very chaotic. We don't always know how it's going to go, but in the midst of that, God uses people to bring about something powerful. Maybe for some of us this morning, it's just returning next weekend. That's the next step on here. Maybe you're here for the first time. You're like, man, I haven't been in a church in a while, and maybe there's something, whether through the music or something that's been said from the platform, they're like, this is just resonating. Maybe it's just coming back next weekend. We'd love that. Next one. I'll be agreeable in a difficult relationship this week. You know, that maybe part of peace on earth this Christmas is you just choosing, even when it's so hard to be agreeable, to say, you know, I'm going to be agreeable in this situation. And I don't like this person, and I don't care for everything they say in the office or at home or in the family gather, whatever it is. I'm just going to choose to take the high road. And some of you are thinking, Kurt, if you could just let me come up there and tell my story and how difficult the person is I work next to, you'd think that's a really stupid idea. But listen, maybe part of peace on earth is you choosing to move first or even to forgive if forgiveness is needed and trusting that if I choose peace, that maybe God will bring a flourishing in an entirely different way in my life. I don't know, maybe it's part of you bringing peace is part of you receiving peace in the process. Or this next one, I will seek Jesus in the midst of blank this week. And you just fill in the blank. You know, whatever that thing is you're dealing with this season, whatever that thing is you're that maybe unexpectedly came up, that thing that is a hope that hasn't come about. I don't know, maybe that's just the makings. The midst of that unexpected thing is the makings of one of the best Christmases ever. You know, that first Christmas did not go the way that anybody expected. I mean, nobody expected it to go the way that it went. I mean, everything unraveled one step after another. And yet, it made way for the absolute best Christmas ever. Now, I'm not promising that. I'm just saying that God works in the midst of unexpected things. Or maybe you're here today and maybe a next step for you is taking a step to God for the first time and just receiving from Him and saying, I want to begin a relationship, God. I want to step out of whatever chaos I've been involved in and I just want to begin to experience you as a peace. And you're going to have a chance to do that here in just a moment. You know, the angel said, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests. Who does His favor rest on? Have you ever wondered that? It rests on those who are seeking Him. I mean, it's available to all, but He says, I mean, those who seek me, those who come looking for something, He says, man, you're going to experience something. You're going to experience something you cannot create for yourself. So I want to invite you to pray with me. And many of you, you've prayed these prayers over and over again. Maybe you've been praying for something unique over and over. You're still in waiting. Some of you, you've never asked God to intervene in that moment, in that unexpected thing. Maybe this is the first time you'll do that. So as I pray, I want you to pray along with me just silently, and let's just ask Jesus into whatever it is that's on our hearts and minds this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. And God, if I'm honest, man, I admit that I can be one of the most selfish, self-centered people there is. And God, I try to do things on my own so many times. And right now, God, I just want to invite you into this season and continually into my life to make things more and more the way they're supposed to be. I want you to help put things in their proper place. And Father, I just pray that I would experience more of your presence. I pray that we would experience more of your presence. And God, if we're sitting here this morning and we just can't think of anything right now that's not going the way, contrary to the way we want it to go, man, we just want to pause and rejoice and thank you because, oh my word, what a great season to be in. But for the rest of us, God, who are dealing with something heavy or dealing with something unexpected, we're inviting you into that moment. And we don't know how it's all going to work out, but we're going to trust that things are going to develop the way you want them to be. And Father, if there's any of us who are just being drawn to you this morning, maybe for the very first time, we've never been interested in you, we've never really considered a relationship with you, or maybe we had a faith as a child, but you know, a number of years ago, we kind of checked out. And today is a day where we just want to reconnect. We're ready to re-engage, and we want to experience you again in a new and a fresh way, or maybe even for the first time. That can happen by us just saying, yes, Jesus, I want to receive you. I want to receive your grace. I want to receive your goodness. And as I receive from you, would you receive me into your family as one of your children? And know that if you're praying those words right now, there's no specialness to the words. It's the intent of your heart. That spiritually, there's a transformation taking place right now. So God, I just pray that any of us that are praying that we would experience the fullness of you, that you would begin to bring about a flourishing. We're not just looking for you to get us through whatever that event is we're in the midst of. God, we're looking for your peace in the midst of it. And Father, we just invite for you to break through like you did that first Christmas, I pray.